Hey, folks. This is Carrie Arentakai reading Zhang Xiaolian's Guide to Motherhood and Gardening by Bumblebees, which is part three of the amazing adventures of Zhang Xiaolian and family, part one of which was Wei Wuxian, Who's That? So I'm really excited to read this. I have a vague memory of it, and we all know at this point that Bumblebees cracks me up like every single time, and the summary and tags are already making me giggle, so I think it's going to be a good time. It's still voice team. I don't think I can class this as weird in any way for me, and I don't want to just like touch a book and call it good for the scavenger hunt. So this one is going to go under the cozy category because I'm recording in my bed, as I actually always do, but I'm wearing like the granniest nightgown, but it's so warm and cozy, and the dogs are curled up beside me. So it's longer than I usually do in one reading, but I feel like I'm going to try to do the whole thing tonight, which on the one hand, like, I do kind of want to spread the joy of this out over several days, but also, I don't know, I feel like I'm having trouble concentrating on any one thing during voice team, and this feels like a thing I can just get into, which I'm excited about. Okay, so the ships for this one are Lan Longji, Wei Wuxian. I better mute Discord before we go any further here. As well as, lost my window. As well as Jiang Cheng / Wen Ning and Jiang Yanli / Jin Xixuan. Additional tags, crack taken mostly seriously. Like many of Wei Wuxian's best ideas, it starts as a joke. And then I write it. Canon is sad bitch, let's get you some fun. Reader's note, that is just like absolutely my vibe. 100% my vibe. Okay, back to the tags. Purposeful baby acquisition. John Mulaney voice. You know those days where you're like, this might as well happen. That's this fic. Wei Wuxian, when will you learn that there are consequences to your actions? Takes place right where Wei Wuxian, Who's That? Leaves off. Like, literally, exactly where it leaves off. Look, I got so many comments saying give Wang Xian a baby that I had to do it. And it wouldn't be Wei Wuxian if it wasn't the most chaotic and wild method possible. Have a melon baby. Thanks. No beta, we die like Wei Wuxian. The tag wrangler that got that one. I'm gonna die. I'm laughing so hard. I'm trying to contain it to laughter in my spirit rather than just uncontrollable out loud laughter. Oh my gosh. Right. So part two with Wen Ying and Jiang Cheng was sort of overlapping with Wei Wuxian, Who's That? It was the same time frame, but from their perspective. And so now we're continuing. Summary. We're going to plant it in the... Oh, this is going to be a tough one. Okay, give me a sec. Okay, here we go. We're going to plant it in the ground like a radish and water it every day. And at the end of 9 months, we'll have a baby, Wei Wuxian says. No, you won't, Zhang Cheng says, because he has no imagination. Or Wei Wuxian tries to grow a child using a melon. Some of it goes as planned. Most of it does not. Chapter 1. Plotting. Summary. It begins. Author's notes. Slamming into AO3 at the speed of light. What's up? The second I got out of my last final, I flung myself right back into fanfiction. I do have a winter semester coming up, so this story will probably update a lot slower than Wei Wuxian, Who's That? But gods, I missed writing this verse. Hi again. And now with my finals done and thesis over, I need to reply to all the lovely comments in my inbox. Bless you all, crying-ish Kamoji heart. I swear to God, I will respond, even if it takes me a while. In the meantime, please accept this disaster with all of my love. The way I see it, Wei Wuxian says, trying to summarize 5 hours of research in less than 10 minutes, for the sake of Lan Zhan's sanity, is that there are three different ways I could do this. His husband is still watching him closely, but at least he's listening. First, I could create an array to change my entire body, Wei Wuxian says. but I'd rather not because I like my body the way it is. Lun Shan says, who also likes Wei Wuxian's body. Second, Wei Wuxian continues, ticking off the options on his fingers, I could only change a few parts of my body, but that's a lot more dangerous for everybody involved, and Wen Qing has already said she'll kill me if she has to perform surgery on me again. That, and he's a little worried what his demonic cultivation would do to a child living inside of him for 9 straight months. He's not going to tell anyone that, because then they'll start shouting about what you think it's doing to you, and that's not the point. He chose this. That's different from inflicting it on someone. Lun Shan agrees, nose wrinkled in a way that says option two is right out, even if Wei Wuxian wasn't already hesitant about it. Three, I could do it outside of my body. Lun Shan blinks. Look, watch. Wei Wuxian grabs a charcoal stick and starts scribbling. Apart from a genetic material like blood and an array to organize it, all that's needed is an organic case, right? Given nutrition and care, it'll grow all the same. Wei Ying, Lun Shan says. You are not growing our child inside of a corpse. Lun Shan, Wei Wuxian complains. Don't you have any faith in me? Besides, I looked at the theory already. It wouldn't work. The container has to be living. You would ask someone else? That doesn't require cultivation, Wei Wuxian says, tapping his husband on the nose with his charcoal stick. No, I'd grow a container. An organ? Lun Shan looks horrified, probably imagining a disembodied liver in the middle of the Jingxia. No, Wei Wuxian sighs. Why must everyone jump to the worst conclusion? We have perfect organic containers in our garden, Lun Shan. We can grow it in a plant. He beams at his husband and waits for the applause. A plant, Lun Shan says flatly, and then, because he is a relentless and merciless adversary, says, I still do not see how this would help you, Winky. Shit. Okay. I still do not see how this would help you regain a core. So this whole conversation, Lun Shan is like, okay, you're going to tell me how you're gaining a core. And Wei Wuxian's like, I'm going to grow a baby in a melon. Oh, I'm dying. The array needs a steady source of spiritual energy to power it, Wei Wuxian explains, pulling another piece of paper over to his side of the table. But the way it's set up is extremely delicate, because it has to change with the baby. Thus, the source can't be too powerful. It has to grow slowly with the child. So here's my theory. The same way the plant will act as a container for the body, I can act as a container for most of the spiritual energy. I'm essentially an empty bucket at the moment, so if you provide the spiritual energy for the child in gradual doses, I can be the anchor for the array, the place where it draws its energy from, until the array is robust enough for me to transfer the energy over completely. He flourishes the charcoal stick and goes in for the kill. And if I can find a way to hold spiritual energy for long periods of time, I bet I can find a way to hold it permanently. Lun Shan is quiet for a long time, thinking, I still do not see why we could not simply attempt the reconnection first, he says. Wei Wuxian groans. Then I'd be just like you, with too much spiritual energy of my own. The only way this works is if I am like I am now. If I had a core, it wouldn't be possible. Lun Shan sighs. You are determined to do this. Yes, and I need your help, Wei Wuxian says. Don't you want to have another kid, Lun Shan? Lun Shan does. Wei Wuxian can see it on his face. The way his eyes dart to Ai Yuan's toy box, to Wei Wuxian, and to the plans on the table. Afterwards, you would be able to hold a golden core, he says. Probably, Wei Wuxian says brightly. Lun Shan gives him a look, but probably is a big step up from definitely not, in Wei Wuxian's opinion. I'll do the research, Lun Shan. You can help me, and we'll ask Shi Chenge and Uncle and Aqing. They don't even have to know about the baby if you don't want to tell them. You will tell everyone you know as soon as you are sure it will work, Lan Shan says, which is true. Well, yes, Wei Wuxian says. I want this, Lan Shan. I really, really want this. The idea of his parents, of his mother's smile, his father's eyes, living on in the world is too dear a wish to give up. Wei Wuxian has no other blood left in the world. He wants just one person. The Jingxia is silent for a while, the vulnerability of the admission hanging in the air. All right, Lan Zhan says at last. We will try it. Wei Wuxian lets out a yelp of joy and throws himself across the table and into his husband's arms. Lan Qichen spends a solid 2 minutes laughing before he realizes they're serious. Ah, he says, the last of his chuckles fading. You mean it? Lan Zhan says, which translates to, this was Wei Ying's idea. Wei Wuxian takes his stack of papers and drops them in front of Qichen. The first Jade of Lan starts reading with a concerned expression, but it changes to something closer to awe as he continues. You did this in an afternoon? He asks. I got bored, Wei Wuxian says, which is easier than saying, I wanted it so badly it hurt. This is vaguely heretical, Xiaolian, Qichen chides, and the only reason it's not forbidden is that it wasn't thought possible. He leaps backwards to find certain pages. If we modified these arrays, though, we could have the potential to create a new heart, a new lung. Qichen's eyes lose focus, lost in the healing potential. The last pages speak of reconnecting a lost golden core, Lan Zhan says, and Lan Qichen refocuses abruptly, staring at his brother before shuffling to the back of the stack. This, he says, and then stops, overwhelmed. This is incredible. Will you help? Wei Wuxian says, putting on his best little sister-in-law face. Please? Of course I will, Lan Qichen says. He still looks a little in shock from his reading, but he's a healer like Wen Ting, and this could change so much. But we'll have to tell Uncle. If he thinks it's too far... Qichen hesitates, knowing their determination. Well, I don't think I can know about it, if that's the case. Lan Zhan and Wei Wuxian nod. They've been going through all the arguments the elder Lan could have, and they think they have an answer for everyone. But the only way to know for sure is to ask. Fine, Lan Qiren says, and Wei Wuxian stares at him. Uncle, Lan Zhan says, uncertain. You are not disturbing bodies or desecrating graves, Lan Qiren says. It is an improvement over your usual activities. Wei Wuxian wants to make absolutely sure he isn't hallucinating this right now. So we have your permission for this? All of it? Yes, Lan Qiren says. Perhaps you could try to create a daughter. I have never had a grandniece before. Yeah, Wei Wuxian breathes, hardly daring to believe their luck. Absolutely. Two down, one to go. God, that is so funny. Oh, the downside of doing this all in one go is that I'm not going to get to appreciate all the little bits. I will, but it'll be all at once. We're going to see. Okay. You're an idiot, Wen Ting says, and then pauses. Well, you're not doing it in you, so you're less of an idiot than I thought, but still an idiot. So will you help? Wei Wuxian asks. He's gone all the way down to Lotus Pier to ask her, and left Lan Zhan with Ayuan and Wen Ying by the docks. For the sake of core reconnection possibilities, I will, Wen Ting says. But let me say right now that this is the second stupidest thing you've ever roped me into. What's he done now? Zheng Cheng asks, passing the room at the least opportune moment. Lan Zhan and I are going to have a baby, Wei Wuxian says. Zheng Cheng narrows his eyes at him. Horseshit, he says. No, it's not, Wei Wuxian says. You don't have the parts, Zheng Cheng says, then rounds on Wen Ting. Qingjie, don't you dare help him get those parts. Do you take me for a fool? Wen Ting replies calmly. No one's getting new parts, Wei Wuxian says. We're going to plant it. You're going to what? We're going to plant it in the ground like a radish and water it every day, and at the end of 9 months we'll have a baby, Wei Bishan says. No, you won't, Zhang Cheng says, because he has no imagination. Yes, we will, Wei Bishan says. You're going to meet your niece, Sprout, and you're going to love her more than anyone else except Jijie and Jinling, and there's nothing you can do about it. I hate you so much, Zhang Cheng says, which is basically a confirmation of everything Wei Bishan has just said. This is delightful, but the thought of his sister brings up something else. Wait a second. Ah Cheng, did you just call Wenqing Qingjie? Zhang Cheng flushes. Zhang Cheng goes a furious scarlet. Shut up. You did. Something is up, and Wei Wuxian has got to know what it is. Ah Cheng, I'm not telling you. Zhang Cheng whirls around and storms off down the hall. Wei Wuxian spares a glance to Wenqing, but she gives him a blank look that tells him he's getting nothing out of her. So he beams at her in gratitude and takes off after his brother. Ah Cheng, no. Cheng Cheng, no. Wei Wuxian doesn't manage to pry it out of him, but he does tackle Zhang Cheng into the lotuses. So he marks it down as a win and files the mystery away as an ongoing puzzle to harangue Lotus Pier about each time he visits, as well as an excuse to visit more often. Zhang Cheng tells him to fuck off, but doesn't tell him to stay away, and Wei Wuxian takes that as permission. Now, all we have to do is choose a squash, Wei Wuxian says, when they're back in Gusu and Ayuan is tucked in bed. What do you think, Lanchan?
Winter melon,
Lanchan says. Wei Wuxian blinks. That was fast?
Practical, Lanchan says. Large enough in size. Grows in humid conditions, such as our summers.
He looks down at Wei Wuxian.
It made the most sense.
Wei Wuxian feels something catch in his throat.
Lanchan, he says, you've really thought about this too.
Lanchan nods.
Even though it's untested and slightly demonic and really strange, Wei Wuxian says, you've thought about it.
Life around Wei Ying is often untested and strange and slightly demonic,
Lanchan says.
I enjoy it.
He looks at Wei Wuxian with eyes that manage to be soft and serious at the same time.
This, too.
Well, Wei Wuxian says. Well.
They'd have no trouble having a baby if Wei Wuxian changed his body. Of this, he's sure. But then, where would the potential for a new golden core be? Replaced by the fury of Wenqing, which is not an incidental factor. Wintermelon, it is. Granny is intrigued by the idea, and more than a little relieved that plant life is the path they've chosen.
I was afraid your heart would put you in danger again, she admits, petting the rabbit asleep in her arms while they watch Lanchan and Ayuan play with some of the rowdier bunnies.
I've never regretted it before, Wei Wuxian says softly.
I would regret it, should something happen to you, she tells him sternly. You are my only child left, Bao Bei.
Oh, Wei Wuxian says, and curls up with his head in her lap. He'd like a baby created from him and Lanchan, and he knows all too well what tragedies usually have to take place for a child to need adopting in the first place. But if they do end up adopting, well, it'll still be their child.
You will need to mark your melon garden very clearly, Granny Wen reminds him, bringing him back to the present.
I will, Wei Wuxian realizes, sitting up with a jolt of horror.
Lanchan! Lanchan! What if someone tries to eat our baby?
A young disciple passing the rabbit field trips over his feet at the sentence, dropping the scrolls in his arms all over the pathway.
Child melon, Lanchan says, as if describing a signpost. Do not eat.
Melon, Ayuan cheers, displaying the remarkably selective hearing of young children.
What if the rabbits try to eat our baby?
Lanchan waits until Ayuan is out of hearing range before saying,
then we eat the rabbits.
Wei Wuxian is 90% sure his husband is kidding, but only 90. Author's endnotes. Re Wei Wuxian's melon baby plans. I looked up how golden cores and spiritual energy work in Shanxia as best as I could, and as far as I can tell, what I've written doesn't break any rules, but if I've missed something, please do let me know. Some kind of smiley face.
I'll find another way to give him a kid and a core if need be. To anyone saying, but Ai-Yuan is his kid, yes, you are correct. Another smiley face that maybe a mustache? I can't tell. Wei Wuxian doesn't exactly know Ai-Yuan has adopted him and Lan Zhan as his parents rather than as his aunt and uncle, but rest assured he will find out. Chapter 2. Planting. Summary. Before something new grows, you must check the soil in which you hope to set it. Or, Lan Zhan and Wei Wuxian would like some privacy. Three Zun makes this difficult. Notes, in which this is briefly a Three Zun fic, and Wei Wuxian gets some parenting practice in. It takes a long and detailed correspondence with Wen Qing before Wei Wuxian is confident enough to attempt the array, and a little longer past that to grow a melon to a suitable size for their purposes. When the day finally comes, he and Lan Zhan settle themselves in the garden behind the Jingxia, scrape the dirt flat, and begin to place the components that will encircle the melon plant. The actual array will be carved very carefully onto the melon, but while it is still delicate, it still requires power, and needs something with a little more oomph to get it up and running, and to connect it to Wei Wuxian. It's a quiet, meditative process, and Wei Wuxian feels a surge of affection every time he looks up and sees Lan Zhan working beside him. There's something sweet, something special about this quiet morning where both of them are putting in motion a plan to bring to life a new member of their family. Naturally, the gods cannot allow this to last, and Wei Wuxian and his husband are just completing the ground array and preparing to carve the more elaborate one onto the melon when, from the forest, come the dulcet tones of a furious naming jue, emerging gradually from the background noise of the day. "My own people, Shi Qin!" "But now you know why, Ming Jue," Wei Wuxian's brother-in-law says, an almost pleading note in his voice.
"Oh, is there a reason for murder now?" Ye Ming Jue snaps. "I appear to have forgotten that it could be justified."
As I appear to have forgotten that I am not one of Chi Feng Zun's people," Jin Ziyao says, quiet and brittle.
Shi Qin and Ming Jue speak at the same time. "Ai Yao, he didn't mean it that way. You always do this."
Lan Zhan is giving a baleful look to the tree line, probably in the direction of both Ming Jue and Ziyao for upsetting his brother so, and Wei Wuxian sets his knife down with a sigh.
"Would you keep it down?" he shouts in the direction of the forest. "We're trying to make a baby here."
"There's a brief end. Dare Wei Wuxian say it? Pregnant." Pause.
"Ah,"
Shi Qin says, "we appear to have wandered near the Jingxia."
"The Lan Code allows for exhibitionism now?" Ming Jue asks, sounding offended either that he didn't know or that he... Let me try this again then. "The Lan Code allows for exhibitionism now?" Ming Jue asks, sounding offended either that he didn't know or that he'd been told otherwise.
"Li Wei is typically given when Wei Wuxian is concerned," Jin Ziyao says dryly.
"I'm a spectacularly well-behaved niece-in-law, thank you," Wei Wuxian says. "If you want to argue, you can go elsewhere. And if you want to insult me, you can come out of the trees and do it to my face."
Both Nie Mingjue and Jin Ziyao step out of the woods, which honestly offends Wei Wuxian a little bit. He didn't come to their backyard and start shouting. Lan Qichen follows with his hands held up slightly in surrender, making it clear that he didn't come to disrespect his sister-in-law.
"Forgive us, Dixi," he says. "I wished to bring Ayao and Ajue through the forest, and we hadn't realized we'd come so close back to Cloud Recesses."
"You're forgiven, Shi Qinge," Wei Wuxian says, because Shi Qin is always forgiven. "You two aren't, especially if you're causing problems for my brother-in-law."
There's a remarkably short list of people who could speak to the leader of the Nie sect and the right hand of the Jin sect like that without consequences. And Wei Wuxian is both proud to have earned his place at the top of it and determined to utilize it to its best potential. They haven't earned Jiang Xiaolian. Plus, Lan Zhan looks smug and Lan Qichen looks exasperated but fond. It's a win-win.
"It is merely a personal disagreement," Jin Ziyao says, his smile perfectly pleasant, at the same time that Nie Mingjue says,
"Would you forgive the killing of a cultivator of Yunmengjiang?"
Jin Ziyao's mouth thins, just barely. It depends on what they did, Wei Wuxian said. Justice isn't something that should only be exercised on non-cultivators. For insults, Ming Jue presses. Harassment, Ming Jue, Lan Qichen insists. Well, no, Wei Wuxian admits, and Ziyao's mouth tightens further as Qichen gives him a betrayed look. Not just for insults. But if I let harassment continue in my sect unpunished, I wouldn't be surprised if it blew up in my face. A stormy expression appears on Ye Mingjue's face that reminds Wei Wuxian exactly why people don't talk back to him, or inadvertently insult him, which is definitely what Wei Wuxian just did, and what he is also now regretting just a little bit.
You asked my husband for his counsel, Lan Zhan says coldly. Take care in your response, lest you imply he should have been dishonest with you.
Ming Jue's glare turns to Lan Zhan, but there's not a person alive who can outstare Wei Wuxian's husband, and his glare eventually transfers to Ziyao and Qichen.
And how exactly am I supposed to deal with said harassment if I'm never told it's there?
I have always been aware of how much Qi Feng Zun values his people, Ziyao says. I did not want to cause discord.
You were one of my people, Ming Jue explodes. I would have moved mountains for you, as I would have for any other person in the Nie sect. You were the one who chose to leave, who turned away without a second thought as to what he left behind.
There's a ringing silence after those words, and the feeling of having stepped in a far deeper puddle than expected.
I think perhaps sect leaders Nie and Lan should discuss this privately with Lian Fengzun, Wei Wuxian says delicately. I will be going back to my baby array.
It is a testament to the vibrating tension between the three men that no one comments on the phrase baby array, and Wei Wuxian is allowed to sit back down in peace. Sorry, I need a moment to laugh on that. Hold on. Okay, I have laughed, I have coughed, I've thought about how they're all just like, whatever, he's saying shit, like he does. Baby array, sure. Okay.
Let us go to the Hansha and speak, Lan Qichen says quietly. I feel that perhaps we are all misunderstanding each other. Neither Nie Mingjue or Jin Ziyao say anything, but nor do they object. And Wei Wuxian waits until they followed Lan Qichen back into the trees, before he turns to Lan Zhan with a sigh.
I'm sorry, Ajan. I probably should have left that alone.
It is good practice,
Lan Zhan says calmly,
for rivalry between children.
Ayuan and our baby are going to be the best cousins ever, Wei Wuxian argues. And you and I both know that related is not the word to describe those three.
Lan Zhan makes a face, which is insanely cute, but also something Wei Wuxian sympathizes with. He's hardly used to Yan Li having a husband. He absolutely does not want to think about Zheng Cheng getting down and dirty with someone. He doesn't think there's a woman alive who'd be good enough for him anyways, at least based on Zheng Cheng's infamous list of requirements. Reader's note? Imagine me wiggling my eyebrows. Because we know, yes, it is neither a woman nor alive. I'm sure Bumblebee's meant to put that there, but that's such a good joke. Oh, that's really funny. That's so clever. Okay.
Now, he says, striking a suggestive pose for what is certainly not the sole purpose of cheering Lan Zhan up, but will hopefully succeed in that goal nevertheless. Where were we?
There follows a brief interlude in the gardening, where they very nearly answer Nie Mingjue's question about exhibitionism. But in the end, they fasten their clothes again. They need to get back to baby making, after all. It's almost evening by the time they're done, and Wei Wuxian reluctantly takes a break from their project to eat dinner. There's no sense trying to activate the array in an empty stomach. As he eats next to Lan Zhan, he turns the problem of holding spiritual energy over and over in his head. For the baby array, it's fine. Paradoxically, Wei Wuxian acting as an anchor for the array keeps the spiritual energy in place, despite his sliced meridians. If they want to create a new golden core for him, though, they're going to have to think of something else.
This array is active, in motion. Everything is a very fragile balance, and Wei Wuxian does not conduct his life in a fragile manner. Plus, the spiritual energy is being used for something. It's not like Wei Wuxian will be able to reach inside of himself and use the energy there to fly. Well, he could, but he'd rather have the baby.
Okay, I just took a strangely long break for, like, not even being at a scene break, I don't think, but I posted the first part, so this now has a AO3 page, and I just love this series so much. Okay. Let's get back to the melon baby. I'm so invested in this melon baby. Okay. The amount of spiritual energy necessary is another thing that's worrying him. The baby melon requires augmentation at regular intervals, but they're bi-monthly, and Lan Zhan will have plenty of time to recuperate in between maintaining the array. Creating a new core entirely would take much, much more energy, and might even permanently affect the power of the donor. So Wei Wuxian is pretty sure the golden core thing won't work. He's not saying anything about his doubts to Lan Zhan, though, because that will just depress his husband unnecessarily. They've got the rest of their lives to fiddle with his core, and only a little over 9 months to fiddle with the baby melon. Priorities! Okay, he says when the food is gone, and he's feeling substantially better now that he's shelved the core problem for an indefinable later. He cracks his fingers and beams at his husband. Are you ready, Lan Zhan? Lan Zhan affirms. Anyone save Shi Chen might think him unexcited, but Wei Wuxian can see the light in Lan Zhan's eyes, and the eagerness in his movements. It makes Wei Wuxian feel excited, too. Let's do it, he crows, plopping himself down in the ground array. Spiritual energy, go! Lan Zhan nods once and places his hands on the other side of the ground array. It's slow at first, a buzz at the edge of his mind, but then spiritual energy flows through him and, oh. He sits there, stunned, silent, at the feeling of a power that he hasn't felt in years. He can feel it connecting him to the array, to the mixture of blood and components that will serve as the genesis for the child they're trying to create, and coming back to him, humming at an anchored point, safely inside his lower dantian. Wei Ying? Lan Zhan asks, and Wei Wuxian becomes aware that there are tears tracking down his face. I can feel the spiritual energy, he says. Like a core, Lan Zhan. He can't shelve this for later. He can't. Lan Zhan's face immediately crumples in heartbroken understanding. Wei Ying, he says. Perhaps your core. We're doing this, Wei Wuxian insists, pulling himself out of his trance. It's lucky that this is the one thing that could make it worth it to not reach for the tantalizing collection of energy at his fingertips once more. I haven't figured out how to keep it there permanently anyways. We have time. Lan Zhan sighs but acquiesces, looking from Wei Wuxian to the melon and back again. Did it work? It worked, Wei Wuxian says. He can feel the connection prickling at his awareness. A low-level vibration, but there nonetheless. He feels a surge of giddiness. It worked, Lan Zhan. Now all we have to do is wait. His husband's face softens, worry falling back in the face of some kind of success. Wei Ying is very good at waiting, Lan Zhan says fondly, and Wei Wuxian laughs. It's a good beginning. Author's end notes. I'm not sure how much of the magic in MDZS is logical slash based on something, and how much is similar to Western high fantasy where you can just yell, magic, and it works. I haven't been able to find much about it in English, so my apologies if something here is impossible. I'll try to fix it if it's too outrageous. Reader's note, I love the desire to stick to the rules of the universe because I am very much that kind of person too. But you're writing about a melon baby. Go forth, you know? Do what you think is right. You're blazing that path. Okay. Okay. Chapter 3. Watering. Summary. the Wangxian family gets a multitude of visitors, featuring body horror, but with melons, a spit take, and one of little Jin Ling's firsts. Author's notes. It's been a hot second, huh? Reader's note, not for me. I've been very happily reading along. Okay. Back to the author's note. Sorry for the massive delay in chapters. This verse has not left my heart or my brain, but I'm in my last semester of college and I'm currently taking 2 literature classes and 2 history classes, which means I have so much reading. On top of that, half of those classes are in my second language, for which I really only have myself to blame. I still have plans to finish this fic, it's just going to take a while. TLDR, submerged in homework, but this fic is still living. Please enjoy the chaos that is Wang Xian's family, and by extension, this chapter. It's about a week or so later that Wei Wuxian realizes they've forgotten to account for something. He and Lan Zhan will have to stay entirely stationary until the melon hatches. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I guess that is the word, isn't it? Okay. This means that if they want to see any of Wei Wuxian's far-flung family members, said family will have to come to them. Lan Qichen, gentleman that he is, offers to keep a close eye on his niece Melon. I was so like, I'm doing this, we're getting through it. It is fun, I know, like when I'm listening to people, it's fun to hear them laugh, for sure. But like, you want to get to the fic, right? But if you keep saying things like niece Melon, how am I supposed to? Okay. He offers to keep a close... Sorry, now the dog is licking. Oh, the niece Melon. Okay. Offers to keep a close eye on his niece Melon if Lan Zhan and Wei Wuxian want to visit Lotus Pier, but Wei Wuxian ends up turning him down. Theoretically, proximity shouldn't affect the array, but he doesn't want to chance it. Lan Zhan, he says in horror later that night, I'm becoming practical. Says Lan Zhan, who has been practical. Read, a fuddy-duddy, his entire life, and thus sees nothing alarming about it. It also means Wen Qing has come to visit them to check on both the melon and the array. She doesn't seem to mind, taking the opportunity to chat with Granny and cuddle Ayuan. It's gotten you to settle down slightly, which is a miracle on its own, she remarks, checking his wrist. Wei Wuxian pouts, but the thoughtful expression on her face signifies she's found something interesting, so he doesn't whine for Lan Zhan to come and defend his honor. What have you found, Qingjie? She gives him a look. Hey, if his brother can call her Qingjie, then so can he. But taps his wrist with her forefinger and explains anyways. The spiritual energy is firmly in place, but it's still unmoving, for lack of a better term. You're a cup. It's not flowing through you, you're just holding it. Isn't that what we want? Wei Wuxian asks. For this array, yes, Wen Qing says. But if you plan on holding a core, you'll need to find a way to pull it out of that area and get it circulating. Wei Wuxian pulls a face. Doesn't spiritual energy normally circulate on its own? You're not normal, Wen Qing says, and ignores his squawk of protest. No one has ever survived an operation like the one you had. This is uncharted medical territory. Never say I don't give you anything, Jingjie, Wei Wuxian says. Wen Qing rolls her eyes. You give me headaches, she says. You've stayed away from resentful cultivation, right? Lan Zhan plays cleansing for me so much, I could hum it in my sleep, Wei Wuxian complains. And I haven't so much as whistled at an irritated spirit since we started the array, so no. I have made sure of it, Lan Zhan says calmly, from where he's teaching Ayuan the Guqin, which means he's plucking a simple tune while Ayuan gently pats his palms on the strings to make a discordant, vaguely unsettling undertone. Good, Wen Qing says. Keep it that way. She dusts her hands off, looking satisfied, and stands, sweeping over to Lan Zhan and the Guqin. Ayuan, that is not how you play the Guqin. Lan Wangji, you have got to set rules for him. Lan Zhan's face falls into a sad little pout that tugs even harder on Wei Wuxian's heartstrings than Ayuan's. And that's an accomplishment. But Wen Qing is unforgiving. Ayuan, she says, if you want to learn how to play like Han Guanjun, you can't do it that way.
Ayuan blinks up at her in surprise, and then turns to look at Lanzhen with such a betrayed expression that Lanzhen stops pouting immediately to pluck at a single string in the proper manner. Ayuan does his best to copy the movement, even though he has to use multiple fingers, and when it produces a clear-er note, beams up at all of them before putting this discovery to use on all of the other strings. More often than not, children want to learn, Wen Qing chides them gently. I don't blame you for wanting to be less severe than your uncle, but use his curiosity as a guide, not as an end. That's how I use my curiosity, Wei Wuxian points out. You are a singularly destructive and reckless individual, Wen Qing says. Lan Wangji, there's the other extreme you should avoid. Wei Wuxian sputters in protest, but Lan Wangji nods solemnly and helps Ayuan to slow his plucking so he doesn't hurt his little fingers. Eventually, the cultivation world calms down enough to let Zixuan leave Lanling in Jin Ziyao's capable hands for a fortnight, while he takes his wife and son to visit family. At Yan Li's insistence, they make a gathering of it, as if any of them would ever say no to Jiang Yan Li. And that's how Wei Wuxian finds himself explaining plant and animal tissue to a fascinated Wen Ying, a slightly nauseous Jin Zixuan, and a fully grossed out Zheng Cheng in the Jingxi during dinner, the no-talking rule lifted for the unusual circumstances. Lan Qichen, who has already heard all about it, bounces Jin Ling in his lap and hums nursery rhymes that make the usually sullen infant smile. So it's alive now? Jin Zixuan asks hesitantly, when Wei Wuxian wraps up his explanation. It is, Wei Wuxian answers with pride. We get an answer if we tap on it. It speaks? Zixuan says in horror, and Wei Wuxian can't help it. He bursts into laughter. The melon does not speak, Lan Chen says calmly, giving Ayuan another seed cake. Much like a developing child would do under normal circumstances, there are kicks from the inside. Wow, Wen Ying says, starry-eyed in awe. Zheng Cheng makes a gagging sound. Oh, Jin Zixuan says, looking torn between nostalgic and unnerved. Wei Wuxian leans against Lan Zhen, still snickering. Yes, he cried his eyes out when there was one more piece of evidence that their wild plan was working. No, he will never, ever tell Zixuan that. As the array has grown stronger, the spiritual energy has been affected as well, Lan Zhen says. That part I can feel no matter where I am, Wei Wuxian adds, like a really rambunctious bee in my stomach. How sweet, Yan Li coos, clearly remembering not quite born Jin Ling. Zheng Cheng, on the other hand, looks completely creeped out. Can we maybe not talk about this during dinner? Quick reader's break here. I appreciate that we're getting to see this in the perspective of, like, a supernatural, pregnancy, melancy. But I do feel like this like, awe and fascination and disgust is actually just how people talk about normal pregnancy, too, which is, if you think about it, just as wild, right? Okay. You come up with a topic of a conversation, then, Wei Wuxian challenges him. Zheng Cheng narrows his eyes, as if trying to decide whether or not to take him up on it. We do have one, Wen Ying says, picking up his teacup. Oh, Lan Qichen says, his face lighting up. He and Wen Ying get along so well, it's frightening. Oh, Wei Wuxian asks with more emphasis, continuing his staring contest with his brother. I guess we do, Zheng Cheng admits, after another 7 seconds of staring. I'm courting Wen Ning. You're what? Wei Wuxian shrieks, and Lan Zhen chokes on his tea, spraying a fine mist over the table. Wen Ning looks delighted. Zheng Cheng had to have timed that on purpose, and I respect them for it. We know that was plotted out in advance and timed well. You heard what I said, Zheng Cheng says. We'll give everyone a few years to get used to the idea. Wei Song says he knows what sort of rumors to start, and then we'll probably get married. What? Wei Wuxian shrieks again, louder. Wei Ying, Lan Zhen says, a plea for his eardrums.
He's still coughing on tea, though, so Wei Bishan doesn't feel obligated to listen.
Since when?
He demands.
A little after the conference,
Wen Ying says shyly. If by little you mean just under 10 hours, then yes, Cheng Cheng says.
Congratulations,
Yan Li says, beaming in a way that could only mean she's known for months now. Congratulations, Zixuan says, with a mildness that means Yan Li told him.
What delightful news,
Lan Xichen says, looking pleased in a way that means he'd probably guessed. How wonderful, Granny says, with soft and tender happiness. Wen Qing just nods and doesn't try at all to stab Zheng Cheng with her needles, so she must have known for quite a long time now. Which means that, aside from Granny, Wei Wuxian and Lan Zhan were the only ones left out of the loop. It also means that right now, Wei Wuxian is the only one overreacting to something unusual, which is a position he personally tries to avoid at all costs. He takes a deep breath and runs the idea through his brain. It's not bad. Two of the people he loves most love each other. He just has to very much not think about what that might physically entail, especially with Wen Ying technically dead, and he's good. It's great. This is a very normal family having an exceptionally normal dinner. Ow, Wei Bishan says, pleased with how quickly he's rallied. Courting, an idea occurs to him. You know, Wen Ying doesn't have a golden... Wen Ying doesn't have a golden core anymore either. You could have a melon baby too. Cheng Cheng picks up a Jiaozi and throws it at him. And Wei Bishan cackles as he hides behind Lan Zhan.
The Jiang sect disciples are our children,
Wen Ying says. And he's so solemn about it that Lan Zhan makes a faint, confused noise in the back of his throat. I have more brats to take care of than I could ever want, Cheng Cheng agrees. And between you and Ajia, I'm going to have more nephews and nieces than I could ever want, too. Yan Li and Zixuan give each other the sort of smile that makes Wei Bishan want to start calling Zixuan a peacock again. He makes a sound of wordless distress.
Ah Cheng and I are very good at being uncles,
Wen Ying says, cheerfully dropping the serious expression.
We'll stick to that.
Wei Bishan isn't sure whether he wants to yell, Ah Cheng, or gape at his Didi, who is nodding along to Wen Ying's statement without even a token resistance. You'll leave Lotus Pier to a disciple then? Zixuan asks, with the train of thought of a sect leader. Most likely, Cheng Cheng says, unless one of Ajie's kids decides to move to Lotus Pier.
One of?
Wei Bishan squawks. There's only Jin Ling. Cheng Cheng gives him a look that tells him he's being supremely brainless at the moment.
For now.
Forever, Wei Bishan says. Or I'm going to kill Zixuan, I swear it. It's a mark of how far they've come that Zixuan does not look at all worried by the claim. Says the person currently expecting a baby, he points out. I just got us off of this topic, Cheng Cheng says, throwing up his hands in exasperation. Wen Ying is laughing, but he pats Cheng Cheng's arm in a comforting manner. Cheng Cheng continues to grumble under his breath, but settles down nevertheless and is rewarded with a kiss on the cheek.
Wen Ying,
Wei Bishan whines. Don't kiss my brother in front of me. That's gross. There is a long moment where an entire room of his loved ones stare at him. And Wei Bishan realizes with a sinking feeling exactly how hypocritical the request is. Then, Zheng Cheng gets a grin on his face that's absolutely diabolical. And before Wei Bishan can get out, don't you dare, Zheng Cheng, his Didi hooks a hand around Wen Ying's neck and kisses him fully and enthusiastically on the mouth.
Cheng Cheng,
Wei Bishan wails, turning to throw himself into Lan Zhan's arms and hide his face in his husband's robes.
You're so rude,
Wei Ying, Lan Zhan says fondly. A few feet away, Wen Ying is making a very pleased sound about something.
I don't deserve this treatment,
Wei Bishan protests. You really do, Wen Qing says, far too unbothered for someone who also has to share the dinner table with a shameless little sibling.
Traitors, Wei Bishan grumbles.
You're all traitors. I'm going to take Melon Baby and go live in the woods. He's not.
He can't wait until his family dinners have one more little person to add to the chaos, and he has to bury his face in Lan Zhan's shoulder to hide how his eyes well up a little at the idea.
"No kiss at eating," Aiyuan says sternly from a few feet away.
"Precisely, Aiyuan," Wei Wuxian says as he sits up again. And this time, the Jiaozi does hit him squarely in the face. After dinner, when they aren't all in a 10-foot radius of each other, they settle down some. The gentle fall of night finds Lan Xichen and Wen Qing deep in a discussion about growing organs, Zhang Cheng and Jiang Yanli playing peekaboo with Jin Ling, and Wen Ying talking happily with his grandmother, while Lan Zhan plays the guqin with Aiyuan. Ordinarily, Wei Wuxian would seek out literally anyone else here except the person he's now looking for, but he finds Jin Zixuan on the back steps of the Jingxia, sending a glittering messenger butterfly off into the night. "All's well at Koi Tower," Zixuan says when he sees him. He looks relaxed in a baffled sort of way that makes Wei Wuxian think he could probably do with some more vacations. "Ai Yao sends his regards." "To Xichenge especially?" Wei Wuxian says, and Zixuan lets out a snort of laughter. "You didn't say that precisely," Zixuan says, "but it was implied, yes." They watch as the butterfly becomes indistinguishable from the stars, and then is lost from sight completely. Wei Wuxian hates to break the peace, but he's been turning something over in his head. And while he's grateful, something in him wants to know why, exactly. "You've taken the amount of cut sleeves in the family rather well." Zixuan doesn't appear bothered by the crassness of the statement. Instead, he just shrugs. "If having a partner of the opposite sex conferred virtue, my father would have been a saint." He turns to look at Wei Wuxian with a frank, open expression on his face. He was not. Wei Wuxian has to struggle with the lump in his throat for a moment. "You really are part of the family, I guess," he says when he can speak again. Zixuan smirks. "Even if I give you another nephew?" "Well, family means he's fair game for hitting." Wei Wuxian swings, Jin Zixuan dodges, and Jiang Yanli, watching her husband and brother from the window, laughs for so long that little Jin Ling starts to laugh too. Author's end notes. Similar to the case of Jin Ling's uncles, it's rather a process to untangle all the family relations by marriage slash romance slash sworn brotherhood slash adoption in this fic. I'd advised against it, actually, since it kind of makes my head hurt. The point is, no one married is related by blood or by childhood. Example, Yunmeng siblings. I didn't get Jin Su out of that mess just to put her right back into a similar one. However, that's for another fic. It'll take me a long time to get the next chapter written, and even longer to reply to all of your wonderful, sweet comments, but I swear I'll do it. I hope everyone is doing as well as possible right now, and that vaccines are in your future. Take care of yourselves out there. Reader's note, I continue to recommend vaccines being in your future. Who knew this was a thing I would be saying at this point, that it would need to be said, but it does. I hope mid-fic reminder that everybody is going to leave Bumblebee some comments and praise the amazing melon baby. Love it. Okay. I posted in the MDZS Podfix server, which, by the way, if anyone is interested in, we are happy to have new people. So you can just let me know and I'll give you the info. And like two people were like, "Yes, the melon baby fic is my favorite." Very distinctive. Chapter 4. Weeding. Aiyuan is told. Some crying is done. The dead are remembered. Wei Wuxian gives some advice. Author's notes. Me. Wow, getting out of college will mean I have so much spare energy to write. Life after graduation. Smiley face. Have another very late chapter. At least it's a fairly long one. The melon proceeds apace. Given another month or two, it's significantly bigger than the other melons, and the array markings are getting kind of warped. Nonetheless, Wen Qing had gone over them on her last visit and pronounced it stable, or, in her words, as stable as it's possible for something you made to be. So Wei Wuxian did his best to not worry and distract himself with other things. He has help in the form of Nie Huaisang,
sweeping into the Jingxia with his fan fluttering and dropping theatrically onto the floor next to the table with his most dramatic sigh Wei Wuxian has ever heard in his life. "What's wrong, Nixiong?" he asks, setting aside the crib designs that Zheng Cheng had called creepy and Jin Sichuan had called physically impossible to make safe for an infant. He's determined to make them safely, out of sheer stubbornness now.
"I need you to work your magic, Wei Xiong," Nie Huaisang says, fanning himself and sending entirely unnecessary baby deer eyes in Wei Wuxian's direction. Unnecessary because Wei Wuxian still remembers being hit repeatedly with a fan and hearing Huaisang sob. He still feels guilty about the latter. But unfortunately for Nie Huaisang, he's under strict orders.
"I can't do demonic cultivation until the melon hatches," he apologizes. "Aching would make death seem like a mercy."
"Not that kind of magic," Huaisang says. "Whatever magic you used on Daga and Sangha. They got along for 3 whole weeks after they and Arga ran into you behind the Jingxia."
"Huh," Wei Wuxian says, torn between being pleased that he had an effect and disappointed it hadn't lasted longer. "What happened?"
"I don't know," Huaisang wails. "Everything was great, and then one night Daga came home in a really foul mood and wouldn't even let me send a butterfly to Arga to play for him."
He collapses on the tea table, and his distress is so great that he simply looks mournfully at the peanuts instead of eating them. If Huaisang's not eating peanuts, something's really wrong. "You're sure it was about Jin Ziyao?" Wei Wuxian asks, without much hope.
"No one else can make him so angry," Huaisang confirms. He turns his
pleading expression towards Wei Wuxian again, away from the peanuts.
"Can you just try? I'd ask Arga, but Daga even seems mad at him, too."
This is very much out of Wei Wuxian's skill set. He starts fights, not soothes them. Perhaps he could think of what Zhang Xiaolian would do? Zhang Xiaolian would try to be the peacemaker anyways, partially because it's expected of women, and partly because she wouldn't be able to refuse Huaisang's sad expression. "I'll do my best," he says, and watches his friend's whole being light up. Huaisang really does love his big brother, to be so worried about his happiness. It brings a lump to Wei Wuxian's throat. "Ah, melon baby, you're making me emotional."
"Thank you, Wei Xiong, thank you," Huaisang says. "I promise I'll return the favor."
This sparks an idea in Wei Wuxian's brain. "Here," he says, pushing the crib plans towards Huaisang. "Do you know someone who could make me this, but like baby-proof?" Huaisang grabs eagerly for the plans, and to Wei Wuxian's surprise, immediately beams.
"Do I?" he says.
"Take that, Acheng and Ashuan." Wei Wuxian resolves to solve the issue of the venerated triad as soon as possible. Wei Wuxian means to think about Huaisang's problem. He really does. But a few days later, everything else is driven out of his mind by Lan Qichen's assessment that there really does look to be a human forming inside the melon, and it is now probably not only safe, but also advisable to mention this to Aiyuan.
"I know I had a few questions for An Yang about Wang Ji," Qichen says with a smile. "I very much wanted to know who this new little invader would be."
Wei Wuxian almost clutches his chest at the cuteness of the image.
"We shall tell him this afternoon, then," Lan Zhan says, pretending his ears are not a splendid shade of crimson, which makes Wei Wuxian coo and Lan Qichen laugh. They don't even manage to wait that long. As soon as they pick Aiyuan up from his morning lessons and return to the Jingxia, Wei Wuxian plops the sleepy toddler on the floor and sits down across from him, heart humming with anticipation.
"Yima?" Aiyuan asks, rubbing his eyes.
"We have a surprise for you," Wei Wuxian says, and Aiyuan perks up immediately.
"Candy?"
the little boy guesses.
"It is not candy,"
Lan Zhan says, and Aiyuan frowns. "Better," Wei Wuxian says, mentally resigning himself to the fact that candy will find its way into Aiyuan's hands at some point in the evening. "A cousin." Aiyuan blinks.
"Cousin?"
"Do you remember Jinling?"
"Little," Aiyuan says happily,
miming a baby with his arms.
She having another?
No, Wei Wuxian says. Oh, try that again. No, Wei Wuxian says, as if he can prevent it happening just by force of tone. No, it's your Yima and Yifu who are having a baby.
Aiyuan tilts his head.
Cousin? Yes, Lan Zhan says.
Why?
Aiyuan asks.
Well, when two people love each other very much, Wei Wuxian begins, but Lan Zhan gives him a look, and he relents and searches for a more child-friendly explanation.
Because he wants to be called Aji and Anyang.
Aiyuan still looks confused.
Cousin has Adia and Anyang?
They will when they're born, yes.
Aiyuan is quiet for a while, seeming to mull the idea over.
Why I can't? He asks.
Why can't you what? Wei Wuxian asks.
Have Anyang, Aiyuan says. Have Adia.
Oh, Aiyuan, you did, Wei Wuxian says, feeling his heart squeeze. They loved you so very much.
Aiyuan's face crumples.
Want one now?
Wei Wuxian flounders, throwing Lan Zhan a please help me look.
I can't. Aren't your Yima and Yifu enough?
Why, cousin gets. Aiyuan's voice climbs to a wail.
Why don't I get?
You did, Wei Wuxian says, beginning to panic. You have them, they're just dead, gone. No longer living, to hug you, to kiss you, to take you on donkey rides.
Ajan, help me.
Lan Zhan looks just as lost as Wei Wuxian feels, and he has a brief, hysterical impulse to laugh until he cries at the fact that two fully grown orphans can't figure out how to comfort a third younger one.
Yuemu, Lan Zhan says at last, climbing to his feet. She will know what is to be done.
It is a blessedly short walk from the Jingxia to the kitchens where Granny Wen likes to spend her spare time. But nevertheless, by the time they arrive, Wei Wuxian is clutching a sobbing Aiyuan like a lifeline and near tears himself.
Anyang, please help. It's Aiyuan.
Not hurt physically, Lan Zhan adds,
although the clipped tone of his voice shows that he, too, is panicking.
What's wrong?
Granny asks, drying her hands on a towel and stepping away from the other women in the kitchen. Unfortunately, Wei Wuxian has chosen the exact wrong words to use.
Yima has Anyang, Aiyuan wails. Why can't I have?
We told him that he was to have a cousin,
Lan Zhan says, and something in Granny's face settles into understanding.
Aiyuan, she says softly, holding out her arms.
Aiyuan goes willingly, sobbing into his grandmother's shoulder. Arms empty, Wei Wuxian worries at his sleeves for something to do, trying very hard not to burst into tears in front of the entire Lan kitchen staff.
Want Anyang,
Aiyuan howls, and Granny rocks him gently.
Hush, hush, she says softly to him,
bouncing him carefully and beginning a slow, soothing walk around the kitchen grounds. Lan Zhan and Wei Wuxian can only watch, and Wei Wuxian has to scrub furiously at his eyes to keep himself from crying out of sheer helplessness.
Wei Ying,
Lan Zhan says, trying to comfort him.
How can I be a good parent if I can't even take care of my nephew?
Wei Wuxian says. His heart feels like it's cracking in two.
Wei Ying,
Lan Zhan says, as distressed by Wei Wuxian's tears as he was by Aiyuan's.
Xiao Lian, you do.
He's crying. I made him cry.
This isn't over something silly like being forbidden to play with ink or the amount of chili oil in his kanji. Even Wei Wuxian doesn't use a whole bottle at once. This is serious. His little Aiyuan's heart is breaking, and he doesn't know how to make it stop.
It was not you, Lan Zhan says.
And any other time, Wei Wuxian would do anything to keep his husband's voice from sounding so helpless. But in his opinion, those words are skirting dangerously close to do not tell lies.
It was something I did, Wei Wuxian said, was something I didn't do. His love for Ayuan is breaking his heart and smothering him with guilt at the same time. He only gets this precious, beautiful baby boy because of the horrible, horrible Jin camps.
Aying, Lan Zhan says quietly. Alian.
Wei Wuxian can't bear to listen, though, and hides his face in his husband's shoulder, and Lan Zhan lets him stay there. When Ayuan finally stops howling, he spends a little longer hiccuping and sniffling before Granny begins to walk towards them. She beckons them to follow her, and slowly, they make their way back towards the Jingxia. Ayuan keeps his little face buried in the crook of her neck until the sniffling eventually stops, and he relaxes into an exhausted sleep, chubby little cheeks pressed against her shoulder.
"Let me put him down for a nap," Granny says, "and then we'll talk."
Whatever she is going to say to him, Wei Wuxian knows he will deserve it. He nods miserably and waits at the back steps until she returns. They sit on the back area of the Jingxia, with tea luncheon made while Wei Wuxian was staring at the ants in the backyard and trying very hard not to cry. He wasn't entirely successful, if he's honest. But if Luncheon saw his shoulder shaking, he makes no mention of it, and Wei Wuxian is grateful. Granny wraps her knobby hands around her cup, as if taking energy from the warmth.
Ayuan is so young. He remembers hardly anything before the pass. And I tell him as much as I can of my Ahai, his mother. But he doesn't know her. He will never know her.
If only I'd gotten there sooner.
Granny, Wei Wuxian says miserably, I'm so sorry.
Granny gives him a brief, confused look, and Lan Zhan sighs.
Wei Ying, his husband says, you did not run the camps.
I wasn't there in time, Wei Wuxian says. If I had thought to check, to go looking for Wen Qing and Wen Ying, I would have found the others. I could have...
Ashian,
Granny says, and the fondness and exasperation in her voice sounds so much like Yan Li that Wei Wuxian shuts up automatically.
If you had been there, you would have saved them,
Granny says gently, brushing his hair from his face.
I know you would have.
But I wasn't, Wei Wuxian whispers. He knows it's impossible to save everyone in a war, but Ayuan wants his parents, and Wei Wuxian can't give them to him.
And there is nothing that can be done about that, Granny says gently. But there can be something done now.
Anything, Wei Wuxian promises and means it. He'll give up anything for Ayuan, even... despite the fact that it rends his heart in two to think about it, his dreams of his own child. I'll do anything for him.
Granny's eyes are soft and somehow hesitant.
You have already done so much, Ashian. You and Wang Ji both, she says at last. But if you have room in your hearts to call him your son, as I call you mine.
Several things slot into place at once in Wei Wuxian's head. First and foremost, Ayuan wailing, why don't I get? He hears Lan Zhan exhale beside him, a short, sharp sound like he's just been struck between the shoulder blades.
I didn't...
Wei Wuxian struggles to put the enormity of it into words, an explanation for his avoidance.
I didn't want to take... to replace... I know, Granny says, grief and love making her voice tremble. But Ayuan needs parents, young people who can run after him and put him easily on their hips, whose shins won't bruise with his tantrums. He needs people who will last long after I am gone.
You're living forever, Wei Wuxian says, because he refuses to contemplate the alternative. She gives him a quick, loving look before moving deftly on, leaving that conversation for another day.
Just as there is room in my heart for more than one set of children, there is room in Ayuan's for more than one set of parents, if you will consent to it.
Of course.
The rasp of Lan Zhan's voice makes both Granny and Wei Wuxian jump slightly.
He is. We love him as such in all but name.
Wei Wuxian nods, so rapidly he almost gets a headache.
We will, Of course we do. He's my little radish.
And you are mine, little flower, Granny says. We are a patchwork garden, but that does not make us any less beautiful.
Wei Wuxian does cry then, but it's less mourning and more of a release. Gosh, reader's break here. That was the other thing I guess I forgot. Not forgot, but like, Bumblebee's Vix make me laugh so much and also then just take like a sharp turn into, you know, just real emotion, and not like overblown or anything, but, you know, I have feelings and they have feelings. On that note, this is not going to stop the fic, but this is going to stop where I'm reading for the night because it's 10 and I'm trying to get my sleep schedule a bit more normal again. And yeah, gosh, it is definitely, you know, the skill of a good writer to be able to hit both of those notes well. Okay, I'm signing off for tonight, but I'll be back in just a little bit for you guys. Just a second. Hello, it is the next day. I am back. I feel like my mic is doing something entirely different, so I'll have to deal with that later. Yeah, so it's like 2:15 in the afternoon. I have done some things today, not all the things, but some things. And I did clean my kitchen mostly, so I'm feeling good about that. Okay. Just to be safe, they don't bring it up again for a week or so. When they decide they need to, they spend the whole day with Ayuan beforehand, playing with the rabbits and drawing with Lanzhan's inks, and sneaking in some candy after lunch. Ayuan is ecstatic, until they sit him down again, whereupon his expression takes on the suspicion of a jaded old man. Damn it. So much for easing him into the conversation. Ayuan, Wei Wuxian says, giving up any pretense. Do you remember how you're going to have a cousin? Ayuan just looks warily up at him. It's a fair response, considering how well the conversation went last time. How would you like it if they were a little sibling instead? Wei Wuxian asks, and holds his breath. Ayuan blinks, confusion overtaking his tiny face. Little sibling? Yes, Lanzhan says. You would be our child, too. You wouldn't stop having your other Anyang and Adia, Wei Wuxian hurries to clarify. But you would have us as Anyang and Adia too. Ayuan is quiet, looking between them to see if they mean it. When he can see that they do, there's such a blossom of hope in his eyes that Wei Wuxian can hardly stand it. Ayuan gets Anyang and Adia? Or Baba and Fuchin, if you'd like that better, Wei Wuxian says. Whatever you want to call us. Like sibling? Ayuan asks cautiously. Like your sibling will, Wei Wuxian confirms. He has a brief moment to see Ayuan's face twist with tears again before the little boy hits him at a run, throwing his arms around him. Wanna have Baba, Ayuan says, muffled in Wei Wuxian's robes, and Wei Wuxian nearly collapses in relief. Okay, he says, hearing the tremble in his own voice with perfect clarity. Okay, we'll be Baba and Fuchin. How's that, Lanzhan? Lanzhan only nods, but Wei Wuxian knows his husband well enough to recognize that it's emotion choking him, not disinterest. A theory proven true when Ayuan chooses Lanzhan's lap to climb into and nap after an exhausting half day, and Lanzhan refuses to move for several hours until Ayuan wakes up again. So sweet. The problem of announcing Melon Baby and Ayuan's adoption is solved quite simply. Ayuan chatters very excitedly to everyone who will listen about his new parents and his future little sister. Two birds, one stone, Wei Wuxian says tearfully to Lan Xichen, as his brother-in-law has a brief headache about decorum. At least this time we're married. This time? Lan Xichen asks, raising an eyebrow. Well, when Ajian met me in the burial mountains, I was already raising Ayuan, Wei Wuxian says. So we had a child out of wedlock, technically. Get out of the hunch, please, Lan Xichen says, dropping his face into his hands. And Wei Wuxian complies, cackling all the way. Lanzhan frowns a little when Wei Wuxian tells him about it. He had no reason to be so short with you.
That was short? Wei Wuxian asks, helping a sleepy Ayuan into his nightclothes. Lan Zhan, though, seems distressed. He has been acting strangely these past few days, his husband says. I have never before known him to lose his temper with you. Lans have a strange concept of the word temper, especially to someone who grew up brother to Zheng Cheng, but Lan Zhichen has seemed a little down recently. Well, let's go and see him tomorrow, Wei Wuxian says, tucking his son into bed. I'll ask him what's bothering him, and you give him big worried eyes. He can't resist that. I have not ever done worried eyes, Lan Zhan says, frowning slightly. I have faith in you, Wei Wuxian says, patting his husband on the arm. Just think of the face Ayuan makes at you when he wants candy, and I won't give it to him. Okay, there's a scene break here. I've had a cold for 2 weeks, and it's been the stupidest, most annoying cold, and I'm still coughing. So I'm going to go make myself some tea with honey, and I will sip that and be right back. Okay, I'm back and have tea to sip. Now let's see, where was I? Okay. He's been really worried, Xichenge. Wei Wuxian says solemnly, while Lan Zhan resolutely does his best Ayuan impression in the background. I know you have a lot on your plate, but we're your family. Let us help you. Lan Xichen looks at the two of them, standing on the Hanxia steps, and steps aside to let them in with a sigh. You hone into unhappiness like your sister does, second young Madame Jiang, he says, which is quite possibly the best compliment Wei Wuxian has ever received in his life. And Wang Ji, don't look at me so. I promise I will explain. Wei Wuxian holds back a very smug, I told you so, due to the solemnity of the conversation. But Lan Zhan probably knows he's thinking it, all the same. It's Ming Jue, Lan Xichen admits when they've sat down, not quite succeeding at hiding the sheer dejection in his voice. Oh, no. That was me, not Lan Xichen. Okay. Ah Yao and I told him about us. And he's been different ever since. Lan Zhan's expression bypasses stormy and goes straight into thunderous. Is he rude? If he's rude, I'll fight him for you, Wei Wuxian says, because that's how Yan Mengjiang expresses affection. No, it's not rudeness, Lan Xichen says. I can't understand what it is. He never seemed to have a problem with you and Wang Ji, or with any of Huaisang's adventures. Quick reader's break here. Man, you're killing me, dude. You can't understand what it is? Really? Ugh. Sorry, I'm so mad I have to change positions and making bad moving noises. Okay. Well, there's something new to tease Huaisang about. But unfortunately, Wei Wuxian can't devote his brain power to that right now because he's having a spectacular realization. Could it be? Is it possible? Wow, he thinks. And people call me oblivious. You were getting along better before, right? Wei Wuxian says, just to make sure. Much better, Lan Xichen says. I thought A Yao and A Jue had finally reached an understanding of each other. But now, he spreads his hands in a mixture of helplessness and frustration. So it was good up until he learned you were together. Wei Wuxian holds up two fingers side by side to illustrate a couple. Then he started acting distracted, moody, gruffer even than normal, leaving the two of you alone more often than not, making excuses not to visit and refusing your invitations? Well, yes, Lan Xichen says, looking rather taken aback. How did you know? Just a hunch, Wei Wuxian says, hopping to his feet. You stay here and comfort Xichenge, Lan Zhan. I've got a letter to write to Nie Huaisang. Nie Xiong, sometimes you want something so badly you convince yourself that you can't have it. Tell Qifeng Zun to use his words and just ask Zhe Wujun and Lian Feng Zun about it. Even Ayuan can do that. Wei Wuxian. The reply he receives is a solid month and a half later and contains information Wei Wuxian has already picked up from Lan Xichen's incredibly improved mood, but it's nevertheless a welcome one. Wei Xiong, I would call that the most singularly useless and unhelpful piece of advice I've ever received, but I owe you a crib now, so I guess I won't.
Nie Huaisang. You're going to have such a cool bed, he says to the melon, patting it on the top and watching it wobble in response. Your uncles are all going to be so jealous. Author's end notes. Lying on the floor, two more chapters to go. Wei Wuxian hasn't quite been able to kick his bad habit of blaming himself for everything, has he? I hope it's clear that he's not thinking rationally at those times, even though it's not clear to him. It never is when you're in the center of your own emotions. To everyone else out there who struggles with this, I send you both my empathy and the same hat meme. We'll all get there eventually, just as he will. Next up, Golden Cores, Gardens, and Unexpected Arrivals. Chapter 5, Harvest. Summary. Okay, this is... All right, I'm going to read this in two ways. The plan comes to fruition. The plan comes to fruition. One is the correct way of pronouncing it. One gets the vibe of the pun italics there. Okay. A golden core is discussed and the impossible planned for. The Jingxia garden gets a radish. Melon baby does what she wants. Author's notes. It's been a while again, huh? Nevertheless, here's the penultimate chapter. So many things happen in this one. Heads up for more melon baby logistics. Gosh, I need to stop like gushing all the time, but I don't know, warning for melon baby logistics is just the best phrase I think I can imagine. Okay, I took another sip, got myself under control. More lip balm. Okay, heads up for more melon baby logistics and some golden core logistics too. Neither of which have any basis whatsoever in canon. Sorry for your break here. Are you telling me there were no melon babies in canon? Shocking. There should have been. Okay. That said, the premise of this fic is Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian making a daughter out of a melon. So hopefully the non-canonist of the logistics won't be too much of a bother for anyone. Wide grin, smiley face. I agree. Major kudos to @chucklingdevil for the idea of Ayuan demanding to be planted next to his little sister in progress. I couldn't resist adding it. What a unique crib, Lan Qichen says, staring at the spidery contraption that somehow manages to look like 20 daggers tied together with wire, even as the surface is entirely smooth and every edge is rounded for maximum baby protection. Wherever did you find it? It was a gift from Qinghenye, Wei Wuxian says, because putting it that way means people trip over themselves to compliment the delightfully horrible thing. Oh, Lan Qichen says, in a very different tone, and Wei Wuxian has to bite back a laugh. Oh, that does make some sense. Nope. Oh, that does make sense. They're very talented with metal. He sounds the sort of dreamy, proud Wei Wuxian feels when he gets to brag about Lan Chen. But Wei Wuxian can't really blame him, because it is a metal marvel. Nie Huaisang had been very smug, and demanded he be made uncle as recompense, which Wei Wuxian had gleefully agreed to. Lan Chen had just sighed, and gently kissed Wei Wuxian on the temple, which meant he was not going to argue about the crib. Wei Wuxian suspects this is because all of the blankets and tiny outfits they've amassed are Lan funerary white, save for a bright purple blanket and set of child's clothes from Lotus Pier, accompanied by a note from Zhang Cheng, Wen Ying, and Wen Qing. The baby's going to have to have something weird. How else would they know that their other parent is the Yiling Patriarch? Okay, quick note, and then I'm going to stop with this, I swear. But like, baby clothes in white? Woof. That is impractical. Okay. Or the Yiling Matriarch, really. He was absolutely using resentful energy at the Fierce Corpse Conference, so he likes to think Zhang Xiaolian has as much right to the title as Wei Wuxian does. The details don't actually matter, but Wei Wuxian has been arguing with himself about 30 different inessential things since breakfast, because today is the final dose of spiritual energy to the melon. It's an unusual one, too, because it won't be Lan Zhan transferring bits and pieces of his own spiritual energy, but Wei Wuxian giving up the energy he's been keeping safe for the past 7 or 8 months, transferring the anchor of the array to the melon baby, and letting her do all of her own growing from there. It's exciting. It's terrifying. It's more than a little traumatic, if Wei Wuxian's being honest about it.
He's treasured the little spiritual link, the reminder that their wild scheme is working, the flare and dip of spiritual energy growing stronger each day. He's also treasured the glow of the energy where his own core once was, a tiny fraction of the light that once resided there, but no less comforting. He panics a little to think about losing it. "It won't hurt this time," he reminds himself. "It'll be over in a matter of seconds." Something starving in him still wails at the loss, full of fear stronger than he'd thought he had at the prospect of being coreless once more. And once Shichen has left, Wei Wuxian grabs paper and ink and scribbles with a vengeance, because that's the only thing that will quiet the pacing animal of his thoughts. Anything and everything is a go, from see if Wen Qing can weld my meridians together like a blacksmith, to remain coreless and just find a way to turn into a rabbit whenever I feel bad. On the whole, it's a huge pile of nonsense, but it helps get the rubbish out of his brain, and eventually he's slowed down enough to stare into space at the melon's direction, barely seeing the stretched-out array markings that circulate the energy for the child inside. He and Lan Zhen will have to add new ones before they transfer the last of the energy, and Wei Wuxian's thoughts wander to that, chewing on the edge of his brush and going over the markings in his head. They're fairly simple for such a complex project. It's just a matter of getting them in order and working in harmony so that the melon becomes a little self-contained cycle of spiritual energy until the child decides she's ready to come out. I also love that everyone has decided that it's a girl, I think, since Lan Qiren decided he wanted one. So that's very entertaining. He stops chewing. If the melon can circulate the spiritual energy it contains, then Wei Wuxian stares at the ink brush in his hand and the melon in the garden for a long time. He has an idea. Unconventional is the kindest possible word for it, and he can think of several ruder, more honest ones, but it could work. It could do the impossible and give him a golden core again. He should tell Lan Zhen about it. He does not particularly want to, for more reasons than one, but Lan Zhen would want to know. If Wei Wuxian were a little younger, or more afraid, or lonelier, he would quietly file the idea into the depths of his brain to avoid for the rest of his days. As it is, he sighs, sets his brush down, and goes in search of his husband. "Yes," Lan Zhen says immediately, once Wei Wuxian has explained his idea. "Of course, Wei Ying." That is what Wei Wuxian was afraid of happening, and he groans, burying his face in his hands. "I didn't even ask you to." Lan Zhen reaches out and pulls Wei Wuxian's hands gently away from his face, looking at him with an unbearable amount of affection. "I would accept much worse to keep Wei Ying with me." "Lan Zhen." Wei Wuxian doesn't know if he's flattered or a little worried. "I'm not that important." Lan Zhen frowns. "To me, you are." He runs his thumbs over the back of Wei Wuxian's knuckles. "Would you not do the same for me?" "Well, of course I would," Wei Wuxian protests. "But you're Han Guanjun. I'm not the only one who loves you. The whole world needs you, Lan Zhen." "And I need Wei Ying," Lan Zhen says. "Therefore, you are as important as I am." It's too much. Wei Wuxian sighs, his shoulders slumping. "Lan Zhen," he says wearily, "we've already cultivated our cores once. The amount of yours that you'll need to give up for me to be anything resembling a cultivator would be far too much." "It is worth it," Lan Zhen says immediately, and Wei Wuxian is torn between love and heartbreak. "You'll condemn yourself to mediocrity, Lan Zhen," he says. "I've gotten used to it, but you're still Han Guanjun. You have so much potential. Don't waste it on me." "It won't be a waste," Lan Zhen says. "If mediocrity is where Wei Ying is, then it is where I want to be." He threads their fingers together, his gaze and expression never once wavering from utter love. "It is the only place where I will ever be happy." Wei Wuxian is in serious danger of crying. He takes a few deep breaths and tries to make a joke. "So, you're going to help me deface my body in order to pour half your power into it, so I can keep on being shameless and heretical forever?" "Yes," Lan Zhen says,
And Wei Bishan's eyes blur with tears.
Why?
He whispers.
Lanzhan, I don't understand.
Even through the tears, he can still make out the mixture of adoring and exasperated in the look his husband is giving him.
Because you are Wei Ying, he says. Because you are my husband, my wife, my partner, and I love you.
He gives Wei Bishan's hands a gentle squeeze.
Ai Ying, I think that you are the only person who could understand why I would do such a thing.
Takes a minute for the words to sink in, but when they do, Wei Bishan sucks in a breath and then bursts into sobs. He does understand. He understands so well that he feels physically sick with the shock of realizing somebody cares about him that much.
Ai Ying, Lan Zhan murmurs, wrapping his arms around him.
Alian, Wei Ying, Wuxian Shaolian, I am here. I will always be here. Wei Bishan clings tightly to him and does not let go. It's meant to be a quick process, like jumping into cold water. All their hypothesizing has concluded that aside from a little bit of blood to be drawn, it will be painless. Even so, Wei Bishan holds onto his husband's hand with an amount of force that can't be comfortable for Lan Zhan before he makes a light incision on his palm and presses it to the newly carved markings. For a moment, nothing happens. Then he sucks in air sharp as the energy is pulled from him, through and up and out and then gone as the markings flare and Wei Bishan is left with a bleeding hand and a horrible empty pit right in his center.
I think this is the part where I tell you it's your turn to have the baby the next time, he says, but the joke is undermined by the weakness of his voice and the wobble in his words. So Lan Zhan refuses to let him stand and brings tea and lotus cakes out to him instead, made from lotus seeds sent lovingly from Yunmeng.
The next day, the melon is twice its previous size and has lost color in large patches.
Is this supposed to happen? Lan Zhan asks doubtfully.
I don't think so, Wei Bishan says. He still gets a response if he knocks on it, though. And when Lan Zhan reaches out for the spiritual energy of the child, it's strong and bright.
All right, Wei Bishan says, his hands on his hips. I guess we'll just have to trust Melon Baby, huh?
Lan Zhan mouths the words, melon baby, with a slightly baffled look on his face. But Wei Bishan remembers, child melon, do not eat. And even though they haven't put a sign on it, it's still true.
Plant with little sister, Ayuan says happily, plopping the nice clean robes Wei Bishan just got through putting on him down in the dirt. And oh, that's why Wen Ting used to get so mad at him for burying Ayuan in the fields.
Radish time.
Well, Wei Bishan will take the extra laundry for the rest of his life, if it means his heart gets to melt into a puddle every time.
You're right, Yuaner, he says, putting a hand to his chest dramatically. The garden has a severe lack of radishes. We've got to improve the soil.
Lan Zhan blinks calmly at him, which translates to, I do not think that is how farming works, but the plan is already in motion. And Ayuan dissolves into giggles as Wei Bishan makes a big show of digging in the soft garden earth. They get very muddy, but Ayuan falls asleep against the melon that afternoon, buried up to his tiny belt in soil. And Granny says it's the loveliest baby garden she's ever seen. The final month is calm and peaceful, ending in a checkup visit from Wen Ting, and her reaction to Wei Bishan and Lan Zhan's core-related plans. This will alter you both, she tells them, after reading Wei Bishan's notes several times over in silence. Permanently. This isn't like healing someone, or even turning a melon into a child. There's a strain limit a bodily array can handle, and a weakness to a core that will have been so thoroughly depleted. I doubt either of you will ever be able to cultivate immortality after this.
Lan Zhan looks unbothered. But we will be able to live long lives together.
Yes, Wen Ting says, setting the notes down. Provided you don't do something idiotic like try to fight a Xuan Wu again, you should be able to live in relative health for quite a long time. Wei Bishan has his mouth open to protest, but Lan Zhan fixes him with a firm stare
and the tone of voice he uses for unequivocal truths. Immortality without you would be a torture worse than death, Ah Ying. Wei Wuxian hears a quiet, exasperated sigh from Wen Ting, but he hardly registers it, because he knows he would hate immortality without Lan Zhen. And his brain is finally processing that Lan Zhen feels exactly as strongly about that as he does. I'll find you in the next life anyways, he says at last, giving his husband's hand a squeeze. You'll never be rid of me, Ah Zhen. I would never want to be, Lan Zhen says. And Lotus Pier has definitely been accomplishing the impossible in Wei Wuxian's absence, because Wen Ting does not brain them with her medicine kit for being sappy, instead telling Wei Wuxian about all the little medical bits he got wrong in his notes, and how she'll have to fix them if they want this plan to work. Wei Wuxian practically floats through the day after Wen Ting leaves. It's a strange feeling, this much happiness. He can hear the fearful little voice in the back of his brain telling him that he's not allowed to have this, that something has to give. But for once, the sheer bliss is drowning out the worry. This, Lan Zhen says quietly that night, when they are getting ready for bed in the Jingxia. This, Wei Ying, more than any immortality. I know, Wei Wuxian says, instead of protesting or being dramatic about it. I know, Lan Zhen. Even though his husband smiles in little ways every single day, the sort of wide, visible smile that most people are able to register is still rare on his face, so Wei Wuxian doesn't think he can be blamed for being a little dazed by it. You're smiling, he says, because his brain has elected to turn itself off completely and leave him with nothing but basic observational skills. You are happy, Lan Zhen says. There is nothing that brings me more joy than that. The breeze through the window is cool and sweet, and the bedsheets are soft and warm. It is a precious, gentle moment. It does not last long. A crack like snapping wood breaks the night in half, echoing from the direction of the garden. Wei Wuxian and Lan Zhen stare at each other for a long, frozen second, before they both scramble out of bed at a run. The melon is broken to pieces. The fruit flesh is scattered all over the garden like some ghastly gutted fish, spattering the ground around it with flecks of white and occasionally red. No, Wei Wuxian says, feeling fear bury itself in his gut and twist. No, 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 Wei Ying, Lan Zhen says. I'll try that again. Wei Ying, Lan Zhen says. It's so hoarse. So stunned that Wei Wuxian immediately turns to comfort his husband and in the process sees what he is staring at. Perched on top of one of the garden rocks and gnawing on a melon rind, not quite a toddler but definitely not a newborn, is a wild-haired child with glowing golden eyes. Author's end notes. One more chapter to go. Because I doubt it'll be covered in any future fix, Wei Wuxian and Lan Zhan's plan is this. Tattoo an array on Wei Wuxian, similar to the array they used for the last part of their melon project. Basically, something that will hold spiritual energy, like a lake, but also get it moving and flowing, like a river. Lan Zhan will donate the amount of spiritual energy needed to form a core, and the general idea is that with enough practice and movement of spiritual energy, it might even reconnect the meridians. If they don't reconnect, the array will still circulate the energy to and from the core, and Wei Wuxian will be able to use it. It's not a particularly tasteful plan from Wei Wuxian's or the Society of the Cultivation World's point of view, but it's probably better than using demonic cultivation for the rest of his life. That's all the core logistics I have for you. Tear smiley face? Hopefully it doesn't sound too outside the range of possibility. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you all next chapter when we truly get to meet Melon Baby. Chapter 6. Daughter. Summary, in which we meet Wei Hua. Okay. As far as the Lan physicians can tell, she looks about 8 months old. They say looks because most 8 month olds don't sit up in such an unnervingly self-possessed way. Smart girl, Wei Wuxian tells her, and she burbles happily up at him from Lan Zhen's arms.
If this is the strangest part of growing a child inside of a fruit, I think you've succeeded admirably, Shichen says. Lanzhen says. After the first initial shock of their daughter's appearance, Wei Wuxian's husband seems to have settled into a contented calm, rivaling the most serene of enlightened men, and has had her on his lap for the entirety of the medical examination. Have you thought of a name yet? Huaisang asks. Wei Wuxian isn't quite sure how or when he got to the cloud recesses, or why he was able to get into the medical area, but he's beginning not to question his friend's abilities. We're calling her Ahua, Wei Wuxian says, pinching one of his daughter's chubby little cheeks to reassure himself that she exists. And I know it's early for a courtesy name, but I want to use Yanyu. For your sister? Shichen guesses, smiling. That had been the main motivation, true. But Wei Wuxian does have a second one. For the twin jades, too, he says, and has the satisfaction of watching the elder of the jades look for a moment as if he might cry. Her family name will be Wei, Lan Chan says, presumably so his brother will get so distracted by the thought of breaking that news to the Lan elders that he won't actually burst into tears in front of Huaisang. Wei Hua. Wei Bishan's heart melts. It's not the first time he'd heard it. Lan Chan has been insistent, but it still makes him tear up every time. You're going to start a cycle of similar names that goes on for generations, Huaisang says. Only for daughters, Wei Wuxian says, because if Zheng Cheng ever wanted to have children, which is looking to be more and more unlikely, as he really does seem content with his disciples and his unclehood, he would also honor Jiang Yan Li in the name of any daughter he had, and Wei Wuxian wouldn't even be mad about it. Their Jie Jie deserves all of the love. You were not invited, Lan Chen says flatly to Huaisang, which makes Shichen frown, but Huaisang beam. Why are you here, Asang? Wei Wuxian asks. Arge, Daga, and Sangha would like to renew their vows of brotherhood, and I think it should take place in the unclean realm, Huaisang says, fanning himself lightly. So I came here to persuade Arge about it. Lan Chichen has the decency to look a little bashful when Lan Zhen gives him a reproachful, why wasn't I informed, look. You had your hands full, Ajahn. Lan Zhen, who still has his hands full, turns his glare back to Huaisang. Can I say hello? Huaisang asks, having grown up with Nie Mingjue, and therefore in possession of an incredible resistance to being glared at. Lan Zhen looks to Wei Wuxian with an expression of, do I have to? But reluctantly shifts Ahua in his lap so that Huaisang can greet her when Wei Wuxian nods. Hello, Xiaohua, Huaisang says in sing-song, and is rewarded with Ahua making grabby hands at him. Wei Wuxian and Shichen laugh, and Lan Zhen allows his daughter to grab at Huaisang's outstretched fingers. Huaisang smiles when she grabs them, holding her little wrists in between his thumb and forefinger, and then blinks in surprise. Wow, that is a lot of spiritual energy for a baby. She is the child of two powerful cultivators, Shichen points out, and Wei Wuxian allows himself to feel proud, even if Shichen is probably referring to his pre-patriarch days. No, it's... that's a lot, Huaisang says. So much. Pride abruptly flips over on its back and turns to worry. Is that bad? Wei Wuxian asks his brother-in-law. Not necessarily, Shichen says. Let me check her meridians, Asang. Huaisang mutters something about never being believed about anything, but steps back to let Shichen near his niece. Lan Shichen puts a thumb on Wei Hua's tiny wrist, and over the next 30 seconds, his face does a spectacular transformation from calm to concerned to astounded and gets stuck on the last one. I told you, Huaisang says. You did, Shichen says faintly. That's enough of the Lan tendency to talk as if everyone can communicate by telepathy, especially when it concerns his child's health. Shichen, is something wrong? Wei Wuxian asks, not bothering to hide his aggravation. Not precisely,
Shi Chen says, with none of the reassurance in his tone needed for those words to not cause immediate panic in Wei Wuxian's chest. Define precisely, Lan Zhan says, and the edge to his voice tells Wei Wuxian that his husband is thinking the same way. Oh my god. Shi Chen takes a few moments to try and be diplomatic about it, then gives up. Ah Zhan, Xiaolian, I think your daughter is part Yao. Wei Wuxian does some mental calculations about plants and spiritual energy, bringing some of Lan Qiren's patented cloud recesses lecture questions back to the front of his mind. You know, he says, I really should have expected that. There is a brief silence in the room, as everyone contemplates the idea of a Yao-adjacent baby whose mother is Jiang Xiaolian. I think she is perfect, Lan Zhan says, looking down at his daughter with a calm, content adoration. Wei Hua chews happily on her father's headband with tiny, pearly teeth she absolutely shouldn't have yet. If Wei Wuxian looks closely enough, he can see that the tiny canines are sharper than they should be. Oh, she absolutely is, he says, because it's true. Reader's note, I forgot about that twist completely. I guess my mind was very fixated on the melon baby. I can tell already that you are exceptionally intelligent, Lan Qiren says, when he meets his grandniece for the first time. He doesn't seem bothered by Ahua having hurtled straight to 8 months, perhaps because he's seen a lot of weird happenings in his many years, or perhaps because he's so pleased to have a nibbling he doesn't have to personally raise that he doesn't give a shit. In any case, when Ahua waves her arms at her granduncle, Lan Zhan hands her to his uncle with only minimal reluctance. She's either going to idolize him or he's going to spoil her like crazy, is the premonition bestowed upon Wei Wuxian as he watches his uncle-in-law bounce her gently, like he must have done for Lan Zhan and Shi Chen a long time ago. Either way, she'll be well-loved. But if she decides to become a mini Tiren, they're going to have to take her down to Yunmeng so often to counterbalance it. Do you think we can teach Ayuan to get in trouble? Wei Wuxian asks, as his son enters the room with Granny, making a beeline for his granduncle. It's very much past his bedtime, but Ayuan's been too excited about his sibling to sleep since before his sister destroyed her melon cage. So there's... Oh no, the metal crib? Oh dear. Okay. But Ayuan's been too excited about his sibling to sleep since before his sister destroyed her melon cage, so there's really no use trying to keep him in bed now. What for? Lan Zhan asks. So he can teach his sister, Wei Wuxian says, in case she turns out to be very Lan. I am Lan, Lan Zhan points out, as is Amin. The mention of Ayuan's chaotic little friend cheers Wei Wuxian up considerably. Now that Lan Zhan mentions it, Amin's parents are a bit eccentric as well, despite being part of the main Lan family. All is not lost. You were a very Lanish Lan when you were little, Wei Wuxian tells his husband, leaning his head on Lan Zhan's shoulder. Hmm, Lan Zhan agrees. And look what it got you, Wei Wuxian says, amused in spite of himself. The Yiling matriarch for a wife and a Melon Yao for a daughter. Look what it got me indeed, Lan Zhan says, quiet with affection instead of solemnity, and Wei Wuxian turns his face into his husband's shoulder so his son won't see him crying and think that something is wrong. Ahua, Yan Yu, Huai Sang coos, playing peekaboo with his new niece the following morning. Your sister is going to cry a lot about that, Ying Jie. She's made me cry before, Wei Wuxian says, instead of listing everything Jiang Yanli did for her little brothers, and Wei Wuxian in particular. It'll make Jiang Cheng cry too, which is a bonus, but mainly he just wants his daughter to grow into as beautiful and clever a person as Yanli is. She could have no better role model, Lan Zhan says, and Wei Wuxian beams at his husband. He knows better than anyone the truth of that, but it's still nice to hear Lan Zhan say it out loud. Wei Hua has been distracted from the peekaboo by a plate of melon slices. I don't know, is that cannibalism? Sorry, that was me. Okay. And Wei Wuxian watches with heart-bursting love as Lan Zhan hands her little piece after little piece, and she chomps on them happily. After an extended moment, something occurs to him, and he shoots to his feet with a yelp of alarm.
I have to write to Wenxing right away.
Lan Zhan tilts his head, watching Wei Wuxian scramble for paper and ink.
What for?
I need to know if feeding our daughter melon pieces is cannibalism.
Nothing is ever boring with you, is it? Nie Huaisang says.
And Wei Wuxian takes it as a compliment. I'm sorry, I ruined that joke, but I mean, Wei Wuxian's right, is what I think. I think that is a serious concern.
Okay, afterward.
Yanli does cry. So does Zhang Cheng. But Yanli gets Wei Wuxian back by giving her first daughter the courtesy name Jin Ruying, with the characters like a hero. So a different character than Wei Ying's name. And Zheng Cheng thinks Wei Wuxian crying about it is delightful karma, until Yanli informs him that Ru Ying's twin brother will have the courtesy name Jin Rucheng, like an orange tree. Then Zheng Cheng cries again. Wenxing declares melon pieces not cannibalism, instead more like a baby chick absorbing the nutrients from their egg. Nie Huaisang mentions that hens will sometimes eat their unhatched eggs, or even their living chicks. The dinner table dissolves once more into chaos. Author's end notes. Thanks for hanging on with me until the end of this fic, guys. It took over a year, because, boy, it was a fucking year. But it's done. I hope I got everything okay with the names. Both Ahua's courtesy name, Yan as in, and then there's the character, in this case meaning splendid, and a different character than Yan Li's name has, and Yu as in the character, meaning jade. So she's, you know, I'm assuming Wei Hua. Yan Yu. And the courtesy names given to Yan Li and Zixuan's twins. Jin Ruying's name is a reference to Wei Wuxian twice over, as Zixuan and Yan Li mean the to be like a hero bit to reference Zhang Xiaolian / Wei Wuxian. Jin Rucheng was meant to follow the connection of oranges, tangerines with wealth, and wealth with the genes. I haven't learned any of the Chinese languages yet. Still trying to get even mildly conversational in Spanish and Irish, wheezes. So the best I've got is what I could research about names / naming customs, and about the meanings of individual and combined characters. I hope having a similar sound somewhere, but a different character / meaning, is an acceptable way to honor the loved one, / isn't considered naming a child directly after someone. If I've accidentally made a rude or silly name, I apologize. Bonus fact. Since Ayuan, in the Jiang Xiaolian verse, still has his granny, and his father isn't mourning his beloved, he gets a different courtesy name. Granny Wen gives it to him, Yan Hui, the same first character as his little sister, to honor the Dafan Wen. Oh, that's so sweet. So I'm assuming it's, so he's Wen Yan Hui. Bonus fact, the only outfit Wang Xian have available that fits Wei Hua right after her melon jailbreak is the purple one sent from Lotus Pier. Zhang Cheng is incredibly smug about this. Okay, since this isn't mentioned in the end notes, the reader note, I really hope that the friend Ayuan has, let me look up with the name, Amin, is the pre-courtesy name Jingyi. I have to assume so. Okay, back to the reader's note. Writer's note. Thanks once more for every comment, kudos, and bookmark, and for cheering me on until this fix end, despite the long update schedule and the general radio silence. Cross my heart, I intend to respond to every comment eventually, but please know for now that I've seen every message, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude for your kindness and excitement. If this fic has made you happy, made you laugh, or even just made you giggle or snicker once, that's all I can ask for, and I'm glad, heart. Well, you have firsthand evidence that it sure did all of the things. Gosh. What a treat. What a delightful, delightful treat. This is just such a mood booster. Okay, so there is one more work in this series that I will read and probably post tomorrow is my plan. So again, please go leave Bumblebees some comments and kudos, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.